This is the story of a puppy who had no name and no family. He lived high up in the Himalayas of Nepal. There are lots of dogs all over the world who belong to no one, but this pup and this story are different. One day, a man who was at the time the U.S. ambassador to Nepal, Scott DeLisi, crossed paths with the dog, and what happened at that moment is the subject of a book he's written for children and for adults. It's called The Ambassador's Dog. Ambassador DeLisi joins us, not from the other side of the world, but from his home in Virginia. Greetings, Ambassador.
Good afternoon, Lisa. It's a pleasure to be with you.
Would you read just the very first paragraphs of the beginning of the book?
Sure. I know all really good stories begin once upon a time, but can you still begin a story that way if it is true? Because this story is. Just ask Loki. He will tell you his tale. You just have to know how to listen. Or ask the man who met Loki one day and whose life was never the same.
And we're going to do exactly that because you're the man who met this dog named Loki. You named him that. It's L-O, capital K-H-Y-I. So bring us to the day that you met Loki.
So we were several days into this trek, working our way to the ancient walled city of Lomontang, which was right up on the border with Tibet, the Chinese border. And one morning we set off to visit the ancient monastery of Logegar. We were at about 12,000 feet. And we paused before the final ascent up to the monastery. And I turned and I looked, and on the hillside, sitting on the hillside on a little outcrop in the small village of Chokre, was a puppy. You could barely see this pup because his coat was the color of the earth of Mustang. It's as if the dust that was always being blown on the wind had embedded itself into this puppy's coat. But the reason you could see him, despite his camouflage, was he had these brilliant blue eyes, and they just mesmerized me. And he held my attention. And then the puppy spoke to me. And the rest is history, Lisa.
Okay, we'll hold that thought that the puppy spoke to you because this is a new show and people may take issue with that. But first, tell me just a little bit more about the dog, how big it was and what kind of dog it was.
If he was 8 pounds soaking wet, yeah, that was about it. And it turns out that he's a pureblood, a Tibetan Mastiff, a common dog that you can find up on the plateau. And these are the dogs that Marco Polo encountered when he traveled to China. Lisa, and I absolutely understand that this is a new show. And I know that there may be people who will take exception to the idea that the puppy spoke. And my grandchildren even debate with me often. And they say, Papa, you know, puppies really can't speak. And I have to remind them that they do speak. We just have to know how to listen. And maybe if there's one thing I've learned over the years as a diplomat, that ability to listen, making the effort to hear what is truly being said, and to embrace what you are experiencing, that's part of the key. And that's what I did to this day. And the puppy spoke to me, yes. And he called me and he said, Dai, which means older brother. He said, Dai, come here. And I went over and I sat next to the puppy who had so graciously invited me to share his rocky perch. And that pup jumped onto my lap and he licked my hands. And then he put his paws on my shoulder and he licked me on the cheek and he looked me in the eye and he said, Dai, you do not know this, but I am your dog. I said, you may be right. And that is, Lisa, when one of my staff came up to me and said, sir, what are you doing? You know that we're at 12,000 feet. You know that the air is very thin. You know that this puppy really isn't talking to you, right? And I had to explain very gently to this young man. I said, son, shut up. I'm having a good conversation with the dog. He was determined we should move on. We had to go on to the monastery and we had other tasks ahead of us that day. But we did have to come back through that village. And as the trail took us back down, there was the puppy still waiting.
So what happened when you, to put it lightly, took a fancy to this dog?
Well, you're right, Lisa. The puppy had been found by this young boy named Kar Chung. And Kar Chung had found the pup on the trail, abandoned or lost from its litter. It was shivering, it was tiny, and it was near death. And this young boy picked that pup up and he tucked the puppy inside of his fleece and he carried it back to his village and they fed him the sampa, which is a wonderful barley porridge made with the yak's butter and all sorts of good things. And the puppy grew and was nourished and he'd run around the village. But he didn't really belong to anyone. When I came back down from the monastery, I asked Karchung's uncle, who was the de facto mayor, if you will, of Chokre. I said, what can you tell me about this puppy? And they told me how Karchung had found him and brought him back and nourished him and all the rest. And that's when I said to them, I said, well, tell me, is this puppy for sale? And they looked at me and he said, Excellency, you must understand. The word for dog is ki, which is also the word for happiness. So we do not sell them. We give them as gifts. And I said, is it okay to give a gift in return? And they said, yes, that would indeed, that would be good. So I dug in my pocket and I pulled out every rupee I had. And I think I had maybe $39 worth of rupees. And I offered it to Karchung. And they took that puppy and they placed him in my arms. And he looked at me and he said, Dai, I told you I was your dog. And I said, you were right. And he said, I know. And that's where our partnership began, Lisa.
So a different kind of partnership is the one that you have with the illustrator of the book. And they're really brilliant illustrations done by Jane Lillian Vance of Virginia. And Jane, you're with us now.
Yes, Lisa, I am. And it's so nice to be part of the story of the dog who was found in the mountains.
Well, you're a huge part of the story because you yourself have been to Nepal. What most guided you?
So wherever there is distress or poverty of resources, color is powerfully compensatory. And so I would find these black spiral fossilized ammonites from when that same land was at the bottom of the Tethys Sea millions of years ago. Or I would find pumpkin orange sea buckthorn berries, cobalt blue poppies. I've seen them. And I found six colors of rock, which I brought back with me to Virginia and pulverized into silt and mixed with clear, transparent oil paint, like clear toothpaste, which I used to paint the mountains in the backgrounds of these pages, these paintings, and the ambassador's dog.
So the images that we're seeing in the book are not just representations of the colors that you found in Nepal. They actually are the colors because you used pulverized silt as part of the paint. And Scott, I think you have the original of some of these illustrations Jane did. Can you feel the texture of the grain when you touch the image?
Absolutely. They are so alive and they are so vibrant. And that connection of the earth of Mustang being in these paintings that are also part of this book, it's all just right.
Lisa, those paintings become the braille of the Himalayas, which you can touch and read here.
This is really a work of art, the book. It's more than just the tale of you finding this dog, Loki, and bringing the dog back to Virginia, where it is right now. You don't want to make too much of an analogy of U.S. diplomacy and coming upon this wonderful dog that meant so much to you and you to him. But what is the purpose?
Yeah, I ask myself that often. And you're right. I don't want to draw too great of a connection to the work that I did over years as a diplomat. But I found that if I went into my work without preconceived notions, if I was open to hearing what others had to say, if I was open to the experiences I was going to encounter, if I was willing to set aside our preconceived notions, I was always more effective than if I went in with just a set of talking points and a very narrow perspective on where we were going to go in a conversation. And Nepal is, for many people, it's that Shangri-La of legend. There was something magical and mystical about the country. And I think that this is a little bit of a tribute to a country that was very special to both of us as we made our own journeys through life.
Well, thank you both for being such wonderful storytellers. The book is called The Ambassador's Dog. It's written by former U.S. Ambassador to Nepal, Scott DeLisi, and illustrated by artist Jane Lillian Vance. You can see her images at hereandnow.org. Thank you both.
Thank you, Lisa.
Thank you, Lisa.